Welcome to a deeper look in the book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Philippians. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
I ain't telling you all my business. I'm just letting y'all imagine. You can use your imagination. You can fill in the blank. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all know how it is when you are in love and you are not together because you're separated by distance, all you can do is remember. Huh? That's how you know that you're in love with somebody. Just can't get you out my mind, baby. Thring, thring. What you doing? I just can't get you out my mind. Isn't that how it is? I just had to hear your voice one more time. Boy, I tell you, I wouldn't mind they had cell phone back in my day. Because see, back in my day, AT&T was laughing at me. Yeah, they're talking about reach out and touch, but it sure cost. And touch now, you can get these cell phones that got the plans where you can call long distance, no matter what time you call. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. Yeah, I sure wouldn't mind that they had a cell phone back in the day because, you know, back in our day, we had a house phone. And you couldn't use that house phone that long. Anybody know what I'm talking about? As soon as that phone rang and you running over to get it, Mama say, 10 minutes. 10 minutes, Mama. Wait a minute, Mom. I mean, we're just getting started. 10 minutes. Now today, these kids that got these cell phones, man, they can talk all day long. Amen. Amen. You can even get these cell phones that you buy the prepaid cards or whatever. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. Help me. Huh? Prepaid minutes. Amen. Amen. All right, let me move on. I ain't getting much help up in here tonight. Let me move on. Amen. All right, the fellowship of the gospel. Look at what he says. We brought it out, though, in verse 4. He says, always in every prayer of mine. Now, that's in, boy, that you're in love now. If you always, I'm always praying. For every time I pray about y'all. That shows some love. Huh? That shows how he was really in fellowship with this church. Do you see that? It says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Man, I've been praying for y'all from the first time I met y'all up until now. Because I'm thinking about how y'all have entered into the fellowship of the gospel. See, when you're excited about something and you see somebody else get excited about it, then that makes you even love that person more. Huh? See, we like people that like us and like the things that we like. Is I'm right about it? But we fall out with folks a lot of times that don't like us and don't like the things that we like. Amen? I mean, we'll fall out with somebody over some spaghetti. They don't like spaghetti. You mean to tell me you don't like no spaghetti? You know, we'll get all upset with them. Is I'm right about it? Amen. Amen. And don't let somebody ask you to fix something you don't like. Let me move on. I'm not getting much help up in here. All right. But Paul talks about the fellowship of the gospel. Now, underline that word gospel. That's the first time we read it in verse number 5. And then notice what he says, being confident of this very thing, that he that began the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody asked the question, once saved, always saved. Once saved, are you always saved? According to that verse, you are. Did you see that? He that began the good work in you. It all depends on who he is. If it's Jesus, then once you get saved, you're going to be forever saved. He ain't going to give up on you. Amen. This is my ministry verse right here. Ooh, I get all excited every time. He that began a good work in you will perform it. Ain't no if, and, but, doubt about it. He's going to do it. Amen. I may not do my part, but he's going to do his. Until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day I die, to the day I go up in the rapture and see Jesus. Isn't that something? What a promise. He's going to keep working on me and working on me and working on me until I see him face to face. Isn't that something? That's powerful. If you didn't learn nothing else, you got that verse down. Amen. You got the security of the believer right out of that verse. All right, so we're dealing with the fellowship of the gospel. So Paul is excited that they done joined up with him in the fellowship of the gospel. All right, let's go on to verse number 12 through 26. Reader, help us on some reading here.
Starting with verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel.
For the furtherance of the gospel. Read on.
So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak without fear, to speak the word without fear.
Somebody say,
Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached.
All right. Point number two, the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel. If you want to know how to spell it, look at verse number 12. Got a King James Bible. It says, but the things that had happened unto me has fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. All right. All right. So Paul says, me being in prison is really going to advance the gospel. See, God often take that which is bad and make something good come out of it. He's just that kind of God. As a matter of fact, when you are going through something, I'm not saying when you done sin and you going through something. I'm saying when you are out really working for the Lord, trying to spread the gospel, and something bad happened to you, get all excited. Get all excited. You ought to have church. If you got to have church all by yourself, because God is up to something. I say God is up to something great in your life. Amen. See, God likes to put you in situations. How many of y'all used to like the Long Ranger? The Long Ranger. You know what made the Long Ranger look so good? Wait a minute. This is another generation. Superman. How many of y'all like Superman? I'm talking about even the new Superman. What's the new Superman? Small house. Smallville. Even on that guy, the thing to make that guy, the Superman guy, look good, he got to have somebody to rescue. Is that right? See, what God want to do, God want to put you in a position so he can rescue you. Are you willing to allow the Lord to put you in a position to rescue you? See, God want to be the superhero in your life. He want to be the Lone Ranger. He want to be the Superman. But you got to play the other part. You gotta play the lowest lane part. Amen. You got to play the good guy that was done bad. And you got to wait on Gunsmoke to come and rescue you. I'm filling you out tonight to try to find out, you know, where you at. Amen. See, I don't know these names of these modern shows like CSI. I don't know the characters on CSI. What's the other show that's supposed to be real good? Law and Order. You see what I'm saying? See, everybody's into them shows. That Law and Order, CSI. What's the other show? 24. Oh man. Oh yeah, 24. And what's that other show? What?
48.
Hero. What? Cold Case. Yeah, that's it. Cold Case. Cold Case. Cold Case. Amen. That's all right? Okay, you say that's fine. Okay, we got a fine up here. That's good. All right, see, I don't know them characters, but see, everybody in them used to know Matt Dillon. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, Gunsmoke, you know Matt Dillon and Kitty. I mean, because they played, you know, Gunsmoke and Kitty for 20 years. The only one that was different was Chestus and Festus. Can anybody remember when that was Chestus? You know, Chestus was what? McCloud. You know, he used to play Dennis Weaver. Yeah, and then they got Festus. The new generation grew up with Festus. The old generation, like my big brothers and sisters and stuff, they grew up with Chestus. I ain't know too much about no Chestus until it got to the rerun. Amen. I just remember Festus and his mule. Amen. I don't know the name of the mule, brother. I just know he had a mule. I don't know his name. Anybody know the name of his mule? What was his name? Smut? Root. Okay. All right, let's get back to the lesson. Let's get back. I was just trying to wake you up this evening. All right, the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul says, now notice, I want you to see something here. Look back up here at verse number 14. Because, see, the question may be asked, what about when you see false teachers and false preachers and people who ain't really serious, they in it for the money, and you see them preaching and teaching? What should be our response? Look what Paul says here. And many of the brethren in the Lord becoming confidence by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of what? Envy and strife. Some of them are preaching because they're jealous of me. And some also of goodwill. Some are really doing it from the heart. The one preach Christ of intention. He's trying to start something. Not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bond. In other words, they're trying to meddle me. They're meddling me. Anybody ever been meddled? But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Okay? Verse 18. Here's the answer to that question. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in that I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So even if they are preaching for the wrong reason, they got the wrong motives, if Jesus' name is getting out, We ought to rejoice. See, somehow, some way, God controls what happens from the time that word leave that preacher's lip till it hits your heart. I done been preaching some sermons, and folks come up to me and shake my hand and say, "Pastor, I really appreciate it, that word. I really needed this, particularly this part when you talked about such and such and such." And I heard what she said, but I said, "Now, that really wasn't what I was trying to convey. I was trying to say one thing, and the sister got some mess out of it that really was a blessing to her." Now, I didn't sit there and try to say, now, wait a minute, sister, that ain't what I was trying to say. You weren't supposed to take that like that. You're supposed to take it like this. No, just say, "Praise the Lord, then. You was blessed, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord." Amen. That's how I know sometimes it ain't none of me. No, it sure ain't none of me. It's an amazing thing. On Sunday morning, we can have 200-300 people, and what may be something that 3 or 4 people latched on to, they didn't. This other crowd didn't even hear that. It was some mess that they got out the message that somebody else over here didn't get. You see, in other words, everybody got what they came here for. All of us coming here for Christ, and Christ is big enough to distribute everything that we need. Isn't that something? Amen. It's an amazing thing how Jesus just tailor-make the word, and he gets catches in air and say, "Now, this is what he was saying," and feed your spirit with it. It's an amazing thing of how God takes control of this gospel. So don't fall out with the false preachers or the false teachers. Somehow, some way, God is getting some glory. Somehow, some way, God is going to get some glory. All right. So Paul was focused on the furtherance of the gospel. Continue to keep reading verse number 19. Through 26.
"For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain."
Somebody say,
"But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again."
Amen. Amen. Now, Paul here is still talking about the furtherance of the gospel. He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus." Down here in verse 1, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now Paul is really in a tough situation here, because Paul says, "I really don't know what to do at this stage." He says, "I really would like to die and go on home and be with Jesus. That's better for me. But I really need to stay here and preach and teach y'all folks, because that's more profitable for the church." He says, "So I'm in a twix. I really don't know whether to go on and die or whether to stick around here a little bit longer." Now, isn't that something? Now, for most of us say, "Hey, man, I know which one I would want. I ain't ready to die yet." We'll be like the little boy, the teacher, one day in school, she says, How many of y'all want to go to heaven? Everybody in them raised their hand except one little boy. And the teacher said, Johnny, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, I thought you were talking about right now. See, many of us want to go to heaven, but we like little Johnny. We ain't quite ready to go right now. Is I'm right about it? Amen. So Paul says, you know, look at how he says this. He says, verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I know not. I don't really know what to choose. For I am in a scrape between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Y'all still need me. Paul says, if I had my way, I would go on and die, but the church still need me. Paul's concern here then is what? The furtherance of the gospel. It's the furtherance of the gospel. All right. Let's go on to verse 27 through 30 and close it out.
Verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me.
All right. He's dealing here with the faith in the gospel. The faith in the gospel. So we've looked at the fellowship of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel, and he challenged them to have faith in the gospel. Now, this is a good challenge, because Paul have shown them that he's hanging on in there, and now he's challenging them to hang on in there. If Paul can hang on in there in prison, he said, y'all ought to be able to hang on in there outside of prison. If Paul can hang in there while he's going through a storm, you ought to be able to hang in there, and you ain't going through no storm. Is I'm right about it? So Paul challenged them to hang on in there for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, did you pick out the six times that word gospel? Did you notice those six times? Look here at verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That's the first time. Then here at verse number 7, at the end of verse number 7. Paul says, in so much as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Then look down at verse number 12. Paul says, at the end of the verse, he says, the things that happened unto me has rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And then look here at verse number 17. He says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense. Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.